Okay, so in recent news, the administration has vetoed student loan forgiveness bill. And I'm not surprised at it. I'm really not surprised at it. But I thought it was important to discuss because it is about student loan debt, student loan forgiveness. A few weeks ago, I made a video. It was probably about a several weeks ago. I made a video, and I was explaining in the video why, although it is important and it seems relevant and it seems necessary and the debt is high, I explained in the video why we would not see student loan forgiveness. And so I am doubling down on why we will not see student loan forgiveness in the way we think we should see it. And I'm also wanting to point out why students should see this and take heed to this for their own educational pursuits. Okay, let me address the first part. Without restating everything I said in my video, if you want to see it, I'll make sure that it's on Instagram and I know it's on my Facebook, but I'll make sure you can see it because I went in on why it is important, but why it's not going to happen. But just to recap, when you look at the amount of student loan debt that this country has, $1.5 trillion of student loan debt. That's not any other debt, mortgage debt or credit card debt, none of that. This is just student loan debt. $1.5 trillion worth of student loan debt. That is a lot to erase in one clean sweep. Again, not saying that they can't do it. I'm just saying it's a lot to erase without going through each individual case and saying this is necessary to do. And the reason is everybody who signs up for a student loan has to do the entering counseling, the exit counseling, sign promissory notes, so on and so forth, to know that, hey, this money has to be paid back. We understood the difference between subsidized and unsubsidized, or I hope we did, to know that subsidized started their interest count after you graduated. Unsubsidized, the day you received it. So, with all of these things in the mix, you have to account for something. If I borrow $20,000 to a school that I could not afford to attend, just to say I attended there, that's not fair to the person who did not attend that same expensive school but was highly qualified to do so, but chose to listen to the money they had or didn't have and said, I will attend somewhere else that I can afford. How do you filter that? Because that is a real situation. How do you filter that? When you look at the people who said, well, I was on academic probation, but I wanted to attend that school, stay at that school, because this was the school that I dreamed of attending and I wanted to go nowhere else but there. How do you justify their action in whatever financial lane they put themselves in, whether it was a loss of a scholarship? Especially if it was a state-funded scholarship, a loss of certain eligibility based on grades, but now tell them take out the student loan to attend that school. And it's not all on the person who took out the student loan. academic institutions should have some accountability to know that this person cannot stay here, but we will give you loan money through the financial aid system if you want to come here. Where is the honesty in that as well? While we're not telling these students, you might not need to go to that school. You may need to start off at this school and transfer to that school later on. We're not all being honest and transparent, and our hands are still in the wash of this all going on. So therefore, to tell any government, any establishment, that, hey, you are responsible for paying this off in full, that's not fair in every case. Every case is different. I think you would have to go through with a fine-tooth comb and say, listen, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're not going to do. My suggestion has always been you treat the student loans like you treat 401ks. If a person had to borrow $20,000 because that was the only school they got accepted to, that was the only school that had their major, that was the school that was still local, but they had to move out of the city that they were in to attend it. Those situations are justified to me, to a certain extent. If there are no schools in your town, there are no schools in your town. You was going to have to pay room and board. You was going to have to pay money no matter where you attended. So in those situations, maybe you could pay those off in full. But even if you don't pay them off in full, if the government says that is crazy, we're not doing it, what you can do is say, out of that $20,000 that I borrowed, I paid back $10,000. Can they match me on $5,000? So now instead of saying I owe $10,000, I put forth $10,000, they paid $5,000, now I only owe $5,000. Why can't that be the system? The government's not paying back $1.5 trillion at that point. They're paying way less because it's like a 401k system that your employer is matching up to a certain percent. But something's better than nothing. I just don't see why it's fair that everybody who owes $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 of student loan is looped in the same boat as everybody who either paid off theirs in full and will miss the incentive if somebody else pays it, or has paid back a significant amount of theirs. That's not fair. You have to go case by case. You have to look at each individual situation and say, okay, this is justified. At least for undergrad. Graduate school student loans take on a different flavor because that person chose to go back, you know, and it's in more advanced degrees. They was going to be more expensive. I just feel like sensitivity should weigh between undergrad and graduate and postgraduate studies. How long you've been paying on that student loan. How much do you owe? Where you attended. You're going to have to figure out a system of criteria, a rubric, if you will, of how you decipher whose student loans get paid and who doesn't. We all have debt. But everybody's debt is not the same. If I bought a house, are you responsible for paying off that house? I don't think so. That's my choice. That's my house. If I bought a car, am I going to hold you responsible for paying off my car? I bought my car. So why is the choice of school and the amount of money that we choose to borrow, whether we are recognizant of the big words and the fine print or not, why is that somebody else's plight? That I do have a hard time wrestling with. This has nothing to do with a political line, endorsement, or nothing. That has nothing to do with it. But I do try to see both sides of an issue, and I think there is an issue when one person can say, oh, I'm gonna wipe it all clean, and the other one saying, no, you can't. I do think there's an issue and a lack of sensitivity to just say, no, I'm not doing it at all, without understanding that none of your children even went to a public school. So I understand both sides of it, but I do think it's slightly unfair in that regard to just wipe it all away without some type of education or some type of situation that allows other people to I say, hey, well, if they pay this off, then I know I can go to get my doctorate. But you brought the rack back up the same amount of money. The same amount of money that they just paid off. Who's going to stop the next person from accumulating that same amount again? Everybody don't do right with money in college. That's just the truth. Everybody doesn't do right with it. They don't. They don't. But, hey, what do I know? On the flip side of this, that was flip in itself. But another part to this to consider, students coming in. Listen, you have to have the understanding now that if they are not forgiving student loans, if the veto took place and the bill is dead and gone now, and you are a student entering college, this should be a lesson to you to watch what you borrow, because there will be no sympathy for you in the next 4 years, especially if the same politicians are reelected. Now, to that note, and I try not to be political on my podcast, I really don't. I don't like that aspect. I try to keep things neutral and keep them fair. But at the same time, it is on the table. Regardless of who is elected in the next presidential election, next Senate, House of Representative election, all of those things, you are responsible for you. I don't believe that any politician should waiver student loan forgiveness as a way to be elected, when in my head, you are not the only one that's going to have to okay that decision. If I want to say, let's waive all student loan debt, and a committee of the of those who make the laws disagree with me, it will not happen. But if that's all I've been promising and mentioning and it doesn't happen, now I look bad because I couldn't get it done. All I'm saying is those students who are graduating in the class of 2020, you are turning 18, if not already. You will be voting in this election or elections to come. You now have to have the understanding that when somebody is mentioning student loan debt, you should listen, but I need you to use your own mind. You are in college. You are making the decisions for yourself as young adults. If the money you don't have is not raising an eyebrow to you now, then we are failing you as a society, because we are in that boat now. Many of us are sinking. Many of us are swimming. But before you even jump in the water, like I said on a previous podcast, who are you talking to? Surely you know at least three individuals that have student loan debt right now. Who are you talking to get the full understanding of what you are going to embark on if you go down that same path in the name of education? I am not saying don't get your education. I am not saying don't be so afraid of debt that it robs you and makes you fearful of getting an education. I am saying, is it the best decision to go to that school for that amount of money for that major? If that answer is yes, then hey, do what you have to do for as long as you have to do it, and make good money to repay what you have to repay. That's just the cycle of where we are. But if you know that school is overcharging you, and I don't want to say overcharging, if you know that school's major costs five times more than the school in your own backyard for the same major, then you gotta, you might need to rethink that strategy. Because you see what the end is looking like. My late grandmother used to tell me, one of the best sayings that I remember to this day, And I think it came from my great grandmother. The eve will tell what the day brings. Meaning, if you see it now as it is, it's telling you what it's going to be like tomorrow. Student loan forgiveness has been vetoed, people. So you already know what tomorrow is looking like. We haven't cracked down on the student loans themselves. We haven't cracked down on the agencies distributing them. We haven't cracked down on education toward them being better and more improved. We haven't done anything, but they will veto the forgiveness of repaying them. Keep that in mind. Congratulations on getting into the college you like. But I hope that you like not being broke as well. Enough to make sound educational money decisions. So that over the next 4 years, your unsubsidized is not piling up. So when you graduate and may not have the job of your dreams, you're not facing phone calls from people saying, hey, Mr. So-and-so, Miss So-and-so, you now owe us. Wow. Be the one that says, oh, I got him. I know I owe him. I don't owe him that much, though. Oh, I know I owe him. But they're going to get that money back. Be that person. I hope this tip helps. Flip the coin over.
Hey, thank you again for tuning in and listening to Flip the Coin Over Education Edition. I hope that has helped you in some way. Feel free to share with others. Also, check out my new Instagram page for Flip the Coin Over at Flip the Coin Over. Also on Twitter at Flip the Coin Over. You can find out more about me, T.A. Acker, by visiting my website, www.taacker.com. Check me out on Facebook, T.A. Acker LLC, or on Instagram at T.A. Acker. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Take care.